Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. This series we've been looking at is Hearing God. Today we're going to look at special delivery. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you always have us on your heart. We thank you for helping us continue to be the same. Thank you as we spend time in your word today, that we see you clearly, that you open our understanding and our heart, that we may change to be more like you day by day. Thank you for granting us this time. Thank you for granting us access to your presence. May we never take it for granted. May we go away from this time improved because we have spent time with you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, we've been doing a series on hearing God. Many times in our lives, we set aside a time to hear from God, especially if we need direction, we need understanding. We've looked the last couple of times at men who've had a calling or a purpose, and they needed to hear God that they could fully access it. Well, today we're doing something a little different, and you know how there are things that we can learn from by example, and things that we can learn from by cautionary tale. Today we're looking at special delivery. I tell you, most of us, there are just sometimes we just want to hear God. We don't want to go through a lot. It's like, Lord, let me just hear you. And I know that a lot of times when there are special services or special speakers, people get excited and come and go, ooh, they want a word from God. I never say that. I learned a long time ago. I don't say, ooh, I want a word from God. Because I have found that, first off, many times when I'm hungry for a word from God, then I'll hear something that's not a word, but I want to be a word. We are more susceptible then. The other thing, though, I say that because when I get a word from a genuine a word from God, I know two things are more than likely to happen. Number one, if it's one of those great things that you want to hear, like, yeah, you're going to, you know, be on top of the world. Two things I know of immediately. Number one, it ain't going to happen for a long time. And number two, there's going to be some real rough road in between here and there. If you think about it, Jesus told us, the last thing he said to us is, surely I come quickly. Well, he still isn't here yet, so his idea quickly and mine don't always agree. Amen. But, you know, he said, promises you something, and then you, instead of being on the shore, you find yourself in the whale's belly. you know. So not that it doesn't come to pass, but sometimes there are things that are intervene, and he doesn't always tell us those. But there are times we all just want a special delivery word. We want a prophet to come and knock on our door, come in, speak to us, and say, thus saith the Lord, and we just hoop and holler and are happy. So sometimes we want one of those special delivery words. We want that word from the Lord. So we're going to look at one of those words from the Lord today, and we're going to take a man that had heard so often from the Lord. We've looked at some great men one way or another over the last month, and we've been looking at. So today we're going to look at King David. Now, David was a man who heard from the Lord a lot, and he knew good times and bad times, hard times, rough times, but he always had the voice of God in his ear, the voice of God in his heart. When he was just a young man, he was alone out in the wilderness watching the sheep, and he would write songs, many by inspiration, and they to us still come down after these centuries. Many of us hear the voice of God in those psalms. We've seen the great acts of David, the many of the great things that he did, you know, consolidating the empire and so many things, that David is such an example to us. But again, as I've said, no man is without faults or flaws. But what we're looking at today isn't necessarily character or nature or those things, but we're focusing on hearing from God. And this is a time, you know, and when you think of the times that David had when he was all alone, think about him in the cave of Adullam, think about, you know, when he came back and everybody was against him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. You think about the times that, you know, he served Saul when Saul was just beside himself to annihilate him. You think of all of the hardships that David went through, yet he always had the voice of God close in his heart. He always heard him. But we're going to look at a time when he got the word of the Lord special delivery. So we are going to open not at David's best, but at some of his lower moments. We are looking in the book of 2 Samuel. We know that Samuel had instituted Saul as the captain over his people. We know that David then became king. We know he did many mighty works of heroism and many great things for the kingdom. But then we know he kind of got settled in, didn't he? He had multiple wives with many children, and the children began to squabble among themselves. We don't find David, when we're in 2 Samuel chapter 10, 11, about at his best. In 11, we see it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rebab. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. So we already, you remember how we've talked about reading the backstory. Before, the reason everybody rallied to David was that he was always on the front line, wasn't he? From the time he was a youth, we talked about him as a youth hearing the voice of God in the wilderness with the songs and psalms, but even his acts of leadership, even as a young man and not fully grown even, yet his heroism, because he believed in God, not because he believed in himself, but when he went to take his brother's supplies and he heard Goliath taunting the people of God, he said, why is this uncircumcised dog allowed to do this? It wasn't about the man, it was about God and taunting him. And so we do know that, of course, that he ran to Goliath and he killed him, he prevailed, et cetera, et cetera. So we know that he showed that kind of leadership and heroism even then, not because he was thinking about himself, but he always had the voice of God in his heart. So now we see in his more established years, when at the time that the kings go out to war, he sent Joab, and they had a great thing, but he stayed in Jerusalem. And I don't want to nitpick or fault find, but there are many times I see, and we do, of course, change, and our style changes as we age, but men and women of God who were in their youth strong and fearless, we don't have quite the physical stamina we had before, but it does not mean that we have the right then to become self-protective. We should still be as fearless for the things of God, even if our style changes. That part of us should not change. We begin to sort of think, I always say whenever a sentence starts with, you know, well, actually, or starts with that we're rationalizing, well, after all, you know, it's like, well, after all, it's okay for me to sit this one out. I fought through so many battles. Well, after all, you know, I need to look to my future or whatever it may be. But when we start with after all, we're already rationalizing. So David was stayed in Jerusalem. After all, he'd been to enough battles, hadn't he? Came to pass in the evening, David rose from his bed. And we know the story, and I'm not going to linger on the details of it. We know it maybe sometimes too well. But he went out and he was looking. Again, these things, they start with our eyes, don't we? We saw the other week how God's compassion, God's deliverance started with his eyes. He saw his people, then he heard their cries, then he knew their suffering, and then he came down to deliver. Well, even temptation comes the same way too. We can see something. It's funny. You can, you know, be fasting or whatever, and you aren't hungry at all. And then you drive by a restaurant and you see something that, ooh, that looks good, or a billboard, or the TV is on and you see some luscious big lobster dinner, and all of a sudden, man, that sounds good. Or you drive by the restaurant, then what's the next thing? You smell it, doesn't it? So it doesn't start with you saying, by golly, I'm going to go do this. Your eyes first are tempted. So David stayed in Jerusalem, and he walked on the rooftop. He saw Bathsheba. We know that one thing led to another. They had an affair, and he could have had any woman he wanted because he was king of the kingdom, but that was Uriah's wife. And so then after she became pregnant, he plotted to have Uriah killed. So now he's killing a righteous man to cover up his sin. And Uriah first he wanted to make Uriah complicit in it. And that's lying to say, so that he would believe that that child was his child. Well, Uriah wouldn't be complicit, so then he sent to have him killed. So things had gotten pretty far from the young man who sat, you know, out in the wilderness, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. Really, he gives me a place to sleep. He gives me food to eat. He gives me drink. You know, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. My cup runneth over. He takes care of me in every way. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. This is something I say, and maybe I'm kind of jumping the gun here a little bit. You know, it's funny how we almost get it right a lot of the time. I always think that Solomon, everybody is impressed that when Solomon was, you know, praying before God, and God said, you know, he saw the earnestness of his heart, he saw his, you know, dedication, and he saw all these things. And so basically he says to Solomon, you can have any one thing you want. not really like a genie in one wish, but, you know, what is the one thing you'd want? And Solomon, you know, to his credit, doesn't ask for riches, doesn't ask for fame, doesn't ask for power, asks for one thing. He asks for wisdom. And we all go, ooh, ah, and God did too. God gave him wisdom. But I always think to myself, he asked to acquire wisdom. He didn't ask to retain wisdom. So he acquired wisdom in his youth. But by the time he was an old man, he no longer had retained it. And he did something incredibly foolish. Women had led his heart astray from God, foreign women and their gods. Anyway, so David had been, in his youth, had he knew God would provide all his needs. But then as he grew older, he started getting his own needs on his own. And I'm certainly not going to belittle David. My goodness, David had so many tremendous qualities and had done more in the first few years of his life than many of us put together multiple lifetimes would not achieve. So, but, you know, his heart was pure, and he would sing those songs in the wilderness, and he would also continue to remind himself. I mean, some of you have heard my song about I killed a bear, I killed a bear, killed a bear, killed a lion, I can kill Goliath too, who's this dog to me? So he continued to rehearse what God had done. So it wasn't just the Psalms, his acts of heroism. Remember, he put Goliath's armor in the corner of his tent. He couldn't use it because he couldn't even use Saul's. And Saul wasn't nearly as, if we say it like this, Saul was 7 feet tall. Well, Goliath was 10 feet tall. So if he couldn't use Saul's armor and he put it in his tent, you know, but he put Goliath in his tent. He asked this for one thing. He said, I want Goliath's armor. And he put it in the corner of his tent. And it really is, you know, I have things in my room so that when I wake up in the morning, that is what I see. That is what my eyes rest upon. And that, you know, will set the day for me. I told you I'd been in Mexico. There are four heroes in Mexican Revolution. Two were generals and two were priests. And one of the priests, I went to see his little room, and there's this almost life-size crucifix, you know, hanging over his bed. So when he would open his eyes, he would see this Jesus crucified over his face every day. Well, he ended up becoming one of the martyrs, the four martyrs. And I think that God let him see that so that he had come to terms. He was accepted. Martyrdom was his bread and butter. He understood it. He believed in it. He wasn't afraid of it. And so it is the things that we set before our eyes determine what we believe. So David would wake up every morning and see the armor of a giant. And if he killed a giant, this is one of the things I say all the time, when why did David start his ministry with killing Goliath, because he knew his nemesis was Saul, a 7-foot king. And if on the first day of ministry you kill a 10-foot giant, you will never again in your life be afraid of a 7-foot king. So David opened his eyes and he would see this this armor of this 10-foot giant. And remind him, this is what God can do through you. This is what God can use you to do. This is who God is in your life. He has turned you from a backwards little shepherd boy into a giant killer. And so that's what he saw. But of course, he became king. He built palaces. He had luxury. He had abundance. And so his eyes no longer, he didn't go to battle. His eyes no longer rested on the enemy. His eyes no longer rested on the armor of the 10-foot giant. His eyes rested on the beauty of a woman he could not have or should not have. And so it began this, what we know to be one of the, not that he didn't, he had some other flaws and he made some other mistakes. We all know at the census We all know about, you know, how he handled Absalom when he should have left and so many other things. I'm not saying this is his only mistake. He did worse things. I think the census, in many ways, was more offensive to God. But that's, you know, my opinion. Anyway, but we do know this was a very black mark on his life and on his ministry. So his eyes see this beautiful woman. He lusts after her. He takes her. And then he conspires to include Uriah in this to make him complicit. That fails. So then he schemes to have Uriah killed. So we have now gone the gamut from looking on a pretty girl to committing murder of a righteous man who's loyal to you. It's a short journey sometimes. Anyway, so if there were ever a man that needed to hear God, he needs to hear God, doesn't he? He's a man who'd always heard God. So this is where we come to. Now, I'm saying this because a lot of times we really do want that word from God. Give me a word. We want a prophet, a man of real noteworthy. We want, you know, we want the Lester Sumrall to speak into our lives. We want, you know, we want somebody to rub oil on our head, you know. Oh, I was prayed for by, you know, Billy Graham, whatever it may be, whoever it is that you look up to, you know, you want that man or that woman, you know, to lay, you know, Catherine Kuhlman prayed for me. Well, that's good, but it's the God with the, and so we want sometimes that special delivery message. So now we are here with David, all right? And so David is going to get a special delivery voice of God. So we were in chapter 11. He tarried in Jerusalem. We see it only took him one chapter to get to the place where he was, and he's even getting angry. Joab told David all the things, and so be that the king's wrath would rise. You know, he just kind of lost control, didn't he? And then when she heard that he was dead, she mourned her husband. Anyway, and when, this is the last verse of chapter 11, and when the mourning was past, David fetched her to his house. She became his wife, bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. The thing that David had done had displeased the Lord. He had worked it out to cover his path. He'd worked it out, and he'd covered his path. He'd gotten it down. Nobody knew, you know, his trail was covered. Nobody knew what had gone on, or they knew they weren't going to say anything. Everything looked fine. Sometimes we think that just because things on the surface, we get away with it, it's okay. But I love it. The very last phrase in chapter 11 is, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. So many times, oh, I want a word from the Lord. I want a prophet to come and speak to me. Oh, my goodness. So here is David, the Lord's displeased. It never took the Lord that much to get David's attention to hear him before. Anyway, I love this part. I love Nathan. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came unto him, and he said, there are two men in one city, the one rich and the other one poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank in his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. So in other words, it was like a pet. It slept with them. It ate from the table. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Verse 5. You see, remember I said earlier, we're not talking about changing our nature or change. The thing is, if you are a good man, even when you do bad, you can't help but still do good. Remember the other week we talked about Moses and how Moses had something in him that rose up against oppressors. And so even though that got him chased out of Egypt and he was an exile, here he comes to Midian and he sees these daughters drawing water for the sheep. And then what happens? Somebody comes along to drive. Man, Moses stood up and fought him because that's just who Moses was. Moses hated oppressors and he drove them from the oppressed, from the downtrodden, from those who were taken advantage of. So it is with David. David was truly a king at heart. He was a man of justice. He was a man of compassion and mercy, but of fairness and justice, wasn't he? And David, when David heard about this, you know, he thinks Nathan's bringing him this story about a rich man and a poor man. Rich man had everything, and he took this one sweet pet from, you know, almost family member from the poor man and killed it to feed the appetite of somebody who wasn't even part of the clan, was he? And verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. David just hated people taking advantage of. David hated injustice. Regardless of what he did, it was who he was. He hated injustice. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Whew, he was hot. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. So regardless of what actions David had just taken that we had seen with Bathsheba and Uriah, this is David. When you cut him, he bled, you know, to a fight injustice. He heard this story, believing, excuse me, that Nathan was talking about a couple of men in a city, and Nathan wanted to come and tell him about it, and David was going to set things right, and he was hot. He was indignant that anybody could do this, and he said, let me know who this man is. First off, he's going to be put to death. He's going to restore. Who? Tell me who this man is. This man is surely going to die. And then this is Nathan's moment to shine. Verse 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Who? Thou art the man. Who is this man? Who is this man? Tell me who did this terrible, terrible thing. Nathan looked him square in the eye and said, thou art the man. You know, we've been doing this series because we want to hear from God. We want to hear from God. But my point today was sometimes we don't really want to hear from God. But there's still special delivery. This message from God came special delivery. When David had isolated himself and walled himself off with yes men. See, that's what people who despair, I know God is in control, always and everywhere. God has a way of getting to people that people think can't be gotten to. You can surround yourself, but there's always a Nathan. He walked up, he looked him in the eye, and he said, you are the man. And there are times that we need a special delivery message from God. It's not that we haven't heard from God. It's not that David had heard from God all his life, or all of his adult life. David had sought God. David loved him. He worshiped. He was a hero. He was a defender of the faith. And he loved the congregation. And he very generally meant it. I'd rather just keep the gate, you know, I'd rather be a gatekeeper at the door of God, of the house of God. Just let me be an usher. Let me just be a doorkeeper. That's enough. I just love the house of God. I love God's people. I love, you know, the Lord. And here he was, even though he was caught up in this mess, yet what did he hear? The voice of Nathan saying, "Thou art the man." Sometimes the word of God we hear is not the word of God we want to hear. But sometimes the word of God we don't want to hear is the word we need to hear. And sometimes God has to get it to us by special delivery. So Nathan said, "You art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house, your master's wives into your bosom. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things." Hey, you name it, you could have had it. "Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight." Listen, we think these things, well, he did not, his sin, and I love people who get very judgmental about it. It's not that his sin was adultery. It's not even that his sin was murder. What it was is his sin was that he violated his covenant with God. God said, "I'll be your God, you be my man." And David said, "I'm going to be your man, you be my God." And they walked that way through so many tests and trials, through so many tribulations and troubles, that why now did David forget that God was his God? And he sinned against the commandments of the Lord. He's despised them. "Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, hast taken his wife to be his wife, slain him, the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you've despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to thy wife." The sin wasn't against Bathsheba, although he did. The sin wasn't against Uriah, although it was. The sin was against God. And sometimes in our efforts, and I believe in justice in this world, I believe our court systems, I believe all of our social systems should bring justice. But we always have to remember that injustice grieves God, because God loves, I remember Lester Sumrall saying this, God loves all his little children. There's nobody that, quote unquote, deserves evil done to them. This is what is so horrible about the concept that has become perverted about jihad with Muslims. But the truth is, if we as Christians do the same thing to other groups that we hate, then we are also in that same boat. The sin is against our God. And that kind of bothers people sometimes. When David later goes before the Lord and pours out his heart, and he says, against thee alone have I sinned. Well, they, well, no, you also sinned against, well, yeah, we sin against other people, you know, like the Me Too movement, yeah, the Black Lives Matter, all that is true. People have sinned against other humans, but our sin is we have sinned against God, because we've despised God. Because God loves all his little children. Every life is precious to him. And when we become dull of hearing, David all his life could hear God. Then his position, his wealth, all of his accolades, whatever it may be, for some reason, his ears got stopped up and he could not hear God. When he could not hear God, he despised God, sinned against him, and he got a special delivery message. He heard the voice of God in Nathan, looking him in the eye, pointing his finger and saying, "You are the man." So what is it? But again, as I said before, you know, he got angry, he got upset. And he said, who is he? Who is he? Well, that's still the same thing with David. David is still David. Just the same. It's his nature, who he is. So anyway, when we left off with David here, Nathan has said, because you've done these things, thus saith the Lord, verse 11, behold, I will raise up evil against out of your own house. I'll take your wives before your eyes, give them to your neighbors. They shall lie with wives at the sight of the sun. For thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. Now, most of us, if I suppose we'll be honest, at this point, Nathan's life was still in David's hand. David was still the king. He could have snapped his fingers and guards would have come and cut his head off. The thing that I love about David, even though he sinned, the next thing when Nathan looked at him, special delivery, and said, you are the man, the next thing out of David's mouth is phenomenal. David, verse 13, said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, see, he didn't excuse, he didn't blame others, he didn't do anything. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. You know what that means to me? He heard the voice of God. We're talking about when you hear God. Sometimes the very best time, you know when you were closest to hearing God? Is the very first time you knew you were a sinner and you needed salvation. And so it is, whenever we hear God and know we need to repent, know we've been wrong, when we quick to hear, quick to repent, we are truly of God's, we are God's children. God doesn't necessarily expect us to be perfect, but he expects us to be easily heart-melted, soft, tender-hearted, to be easily repentant. He looked at David, or Nathan looked at him and said, you're the man. David looked at him and said, I have sinned. And look immediately. See, we don't have to go through long things for this. Immediately he said, I have sinned. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. As easily as David said, I have sinned, that quickly, special delivery, he said, the Lord has put away your sin. We hear the voice of God and repent. We will hear the voice of God saying, you are forgiven. I know that this isn't necessarily what we think of when we think about hearing the voice of God. You know, we've been talking about hearing God and wanting direction and wanting to understand. But sometimes hearing God means we have to stop and let the voice of God tell us where we need to repent. Get back to being like David, who heard God all the time. And as quickly as he turned, we knew, we saw Moses, who had he had to turn to see what was going on. He wanted to understand that thing. But as quickly as David turned to the Lord for forgiveness, that quickly the Lord forgave him. And David reigned to the end of his life. Sure, there were consequences, but there was never again do we hear of any schism between God and David. If I lived all my life and did as much as David did and had only one or two places where I messed up bad, I would be grateful. But I've already done that more times than I can count. But I do know this, that when I hear the voice of God, when I hear the Lord, special delivery, I hear, I repent, and I hear again. I hear, I am forgiven, I am loved, all is well. So today as we're talking about hearing God, let us remember that when we hear special delivery message from a prophet, it may not be what we welcome, but it may be what we need. And that is the best message of all. Anything that would take away division between us and our Lord is welcome word from the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know sometimes we just want a special word from a special prophet. But Lord, we want more than anything to be just in your presence, to hear you, to constantly be hearing you and know that we are we are loved by you and that we know you accept our love back. Thank you, Father God, that we see the heart of David, that even when he sinned, he was quick to repent. So, Father God, let it be that if we need to hear from you, we welcome that word coming to us, because the only thing worse than not hearing that word would be than hearing that word is not hearing that word. Thank you, Father God, that you so quickly forgive because we have a heart to repent. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you have a great week, and I thank God that because David lived through that, we don't have to. We thank God for he lived his life openly, where sometimes our sins can be in secret. We thank God for you. Have a marvelous week. Look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.